So I'm on the run, the cops got my gun, and right about now it's time to have some fun.
With the Nerdstravaganza Podcasterino.
Please don't start it with that.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's Tuesday night. Nice dry weather here. Filled with a kind of sense of mystery and dread, I'd say. Which can only mean one thing, it's time for a special Halloween edition of the Nerdstravaganza Podcast. Guys, I don't know if I can do this podcast. I'm kind of freaking out here. It's too spooky.
Now as we need is crickets.
Well, from you other two guys, speaking of which, with us as always, we have Tom. How you doing over there, Tom?
I'm okay. I'm also a ghost now.
Just like our audience.
Oh, speaking of something that has nothing to do with ghosts, Mr. Keith.
Hold on, I'm trying to burp.
God, that was weak. What's up, fellas?
Brilliant start. We are just, right here, I'm writing it down. This is going to be the best one we've ever done. Best one. I can feel it. And last, but possibly, maybe not least, we have Rick. How's it going over there, Rick?
They've taken him and converted him into a robot.
See, I was going to say, that's how you bring your A game to the podcast. You bring some kind of ring modulator or vocoder. I don't even know what that is.
That was Rick's pet Dalek.
Oh, you can't keep those things in the house. Not where no, they're not zoned for here. The HOA will be all over you if they see you walking your Dalek, trust me.
But they're great for vacuuming the floors.
Oh, they're so much better than Roombas. Oh, Roombas are the worst.
You, Grant, in the spirit of Halloween, I'm just going to say you're gravely mistaken.
All right,
no,
you know what?
Based about that.
Based on sheer punnery, I'm going to have to concede that point to you, Tom. I'm liking that. All right, but pretty exciting week, I would say. Pretty big week, the week before Halloween. Anybody have anything exciting going on for them here?
I got my PS3, and I went out and I purchased a couple of games.
This is a big moment.
Having fun playing it.
Don't be cryptic. Tell us what they are.
Well, it came with Infamous 2. Now, I'm a computer gamer, so I've got to adjust to using a console controller for controlling my character. And that's going to take me a little while. And so I've been playing Infamous 2. I played it through the first checkpoint or two. Then this weekend I went out and I purchased Vanquish, which I have no idea what it was, but it was on sale at Kmart.
So ooh, actually, how is that? That's by Platinum Games, right?
You got me.
It's by the people that made Bayonetta, which I really love Bayonetta, and I've always been eyeing the price on Vanquish, waiting for it to drop like to about 10 or so.
That's what it was at Kmart.
Oh, I'm going there. That's mine. I'm buying it. Thank you.
So I picked it up, and it had a training mission, went through that, and went through the first mission of that. And I also bought Rage because, id can do no wrong, or can do all only wrong.
Wait, hold on. You bought a console, and then you bought Rage for that console?
Yeah.
And that's one of those rare instances where I would say Rage for PC is probably the superior product.
Well, I would have to agree with you, but I figured Rage should at least show me what the PS3 can do.
Okay, and what's your opinion on that then?
Yeah, not good.
I thought we had a convert here, no?
The game is fun to play, fun as hell. I gotta say that, and it's got a couple scares in it, which is really cool. But I have a real problem with texture popping. If you're not familiar with that, with what that is, it's as you're moving around the world, you see a low-res texture, and as you get closer to it, it pops into the full-resolution texture. That a lot in this game. I've done a little bit of research on it, and apparently the problem exists on all platforms, PC, Xbox, and PS3.
Yeah, John Carmack actually issued a statement. Like, he was saying, like, yeah, if you spin around or if you move too quickly, this will be an issue. But it's right in normal gameplay. I think it's supposed to be where it's not noticeable, but if you start poking around, it kind of breaks, right?
Yeah, it's not really noticeable as you're, you know, when you're in a small confined area. I went to one place where I could see far away, and I could simply turn maybe 30 degrees right from left and see textures popping off in the distance.
That's horrible.
Yeah, it does take away from the experience a lot, and it was really bugging the living crap out of me. But then I was just like, okay, forget it. Let's play the game. And I had a lot of fun playing it, and I'm getting used to controlling, you know, with the controller. I was thinking I'm going to have to buy the game for somebody on an Xbox 360 so I can see what the difference is. Or just buy it for myself and buy my own 360 and deal with that. But it's fun. I've been having a lot of fun with it. It's really cool. Yeah,
which it's Rage, correct, Keith, that you were talking about?
You got it.
Sorry, I had to get up to turn on my ceiling fan. This place is like a tomb. Anyway,
can you? Okay, guys, I'm putting a moratorium on all these bad jokes.
Lay them to rest, Grant. Lay them to rest.
I'm burying this.
You're not killing this, Grant. I'm sorry. You're not going to murder the fun tonight. Anyway, I listened to some other podcasts, of course, to gain inspiration for ours, and that sort of draw-in of the textures was intended so that you could keep the frame rate up.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's gotten mixed reviews.
Yeah, I mean, I know, you know, it's not like it's – I understand why it's there. It just really kind of sucks. You know, I'm spending $60 for what I'm thinking is a top-tier game, and just stick with the low res textures if you got it. But like
graphically, it is top tier. Like, it is probably, from what I've been reading, the best looking game out there, with the possible exception of.
It's damn good looking. I am not going to say that, but it takes away a little bit from the gameplay as you're cruising around on your vehicles, going through places pretty fast, and the texture doesn't pop until you're already past it. It's a little weird, but I'm liking the game. And I'll have to pick up a couple other titles, you know, maybe something made for PS3 rather than something that was made for, you know, multiple platforms where it's
you
not...
know what? I've got your homework for you then. Have you played any of the Uncharted games yet?
Oh, yes.
No, but Uncharted 3 is supposed to be awesome from what I hear.
That's your homework. That is the... I would say that's a flagship PS3 exclusive.
Gotcha.
I would say that's the big draw.
Cool.
So you're kind of a convert. I think we can give ourselves a pat on the back here.
I don't know.
I'm glad that you're getting kind of console-y here. Don't give up PC gaming. It's an important thing. But, expand your horizons a little bit.
I'm really glad to hear that you're coming around, Keith. I didn't think we had a ghost of a chance of converting.
I'm just going to say my next line was going to be, and I'm really glad you did not fit a bad Halloween pun into that sentence. But you blew it. It's over. No, I'm no more congratulations. I'm not even going to make up fake congratulations for you anymore. But maybe you can entertain us and regale us with stories of your week there, Tom, as penance.
I wish I hadn't wasted all my Halloween puns because now I could be like just unloading with them. I'm pretty much out of them as it stands, though. what did I do this week? Let's see. It's been a blur of a lot of work. But I have managed to have some fun. Played a bit more of the Forza 4 video game. Picked up another video game known as Batman Arkham City, based on a superhero named Batman. I mean, that's been fun.
Did you play the first Batman?
I did play the first Batman, and I enjoyed it. I really enjoyed the first Batman a lot.
And this stands up to Arkham Asylum?
It blows it away, I would say, is a better way to put it. Oh, I had a mishap this past week, which allowed me to sort of geek out.
I remember reading this. Go on, I'm sorry. This was pretty big news, right, for you?
Yeah. Apple laptop developed some Java problems this week as during the shuffle at work I spilled coffee and they were taken into the air vents of the of the computer, and I was none too happy about that. So I immediately, of course, turned it off and tilted it on toward one corner so it would drain, and then went to the Apple store hoping they could open it up, and I just wanted to see the extent of the damage, if there was, you know, hopefully it wasn't completely submerged. Long story short, the so-called genius at the Apple Store, who I waited an hour and a half to see, takes the back case off and concludes that the computer is wrecked and I'm better off just buying a new one because there is liquid just covering every surface. When in fact there was just some superficial distribution of the coffee. So I proceeded, I got to go to the Radio Shack. So this is where the fun began. I'm like, no way, buddy, just give me the screws and the panel back. I'm taking care of this myself. And I actually got to have a little bit of fun going to Radio Shack, buying a nice little mini screwdriver set and talking to the nerdy guy that worked there about the best one to get.
I told you to go to the dollar store, but okay.
I know, but then I would have dealt with some like jerk with an attitude. At least this guy was geeking out. But you're right. I probably would have got a better selection at the dollar store. However, I got to go to the Radio Shack and pick that up. And then I got to go and take my whole computer apart and pull all the parts out of it. The motherboard, or sorry, logic board, as they call it. The hard drive, the optical drive. What's the last piece I'm missing? That's pretty much it. And the battery I left. But I just let it air out for a couple days, then put it all back together. And voila, everything's fine. I win. Mac Genius does not win.
Yep, it's always the way it goes. I've had dumpster dives of computers that I've left in the back of my truck for weeks on end. They get rained on and everything. Let them dry out, plug them in, they work fine.
I think the big deal is if it's on at the time you spill water on it or whatever, how quickly can you get the battery out of it and then let it dry? Like, right. if there's no electricity going through it, right. Unless there's some high capacity capacitors, right? It's not going to really hurt anything.
The guy, I think, I mean... You're right, and I knew that, and the guy didn't, and I think the average like consumer that goes in there would have just taken his word for it, and he was just trying to spook me into buying a new computer.
Yeah,
really, Tom?
Joe?
Really? How many – is this even intentional, or are these just things that are coming naturally to you?
Grant, I was really scared. The specter of spending $1,500 on a computer did not sit well with me.
The thing, with liquid in a computer really isn't about the actual spill itself. I mean, yeah, if you've got liquid in there, your connections are cross-connected. That's bad.
Yeah.
But if you dry it out, it will probably work, if that's all the damage there is. The problem then becomes down the road corrosion because things have gotten wet.
Right.
If you took a lot of sugar with your coffee, when the coffee would dry, you might have little sugar particulates floating around in your computer.
Right. I drink black coffee, and it really just got in the bottom of the case. And when the guy carelessly flipped it over after I had been very intentionally isolating the coffee in one corner, a few drops got on some of the surfaces, but it didn't really, not enough to do any damage. I mean, the guy made it out like it had – his words were, it has been completely submerged in coffee as though I had thrown in a cauldron of coffee, like some kind of a witch's brew.
So that's – you had a bit of tragedy in some video games this week. That's pretty much what we're dealing with here.
Yeah, and a nerdy triumph over Apple.
Well, I will applaud that.
Yay!
Thanks. A PC guy would have never given you that load of crap.
I know. I found it a little ghoulish of Apple to treat me that way.
I'm done with you. I'm done with you, Tom. Rick, save me from this, please. Give me something that's not pun-related from this week.
La, 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 la.
And I swear to God, if you're stalling to think of a pun, I will punch you through the screen.
I spent the last week playing, as I always do, 1943. I'm so addicted to this stupid game, man. I can't help it.
But no, this is a Battlefield game, right?
Yeah.
All right. Have you looked at Battlefield 3 at all yet?
Yeah, I downloaded the demo because you can play as a robot, but I haven't played it yet. Because every time I get a free minute to play, I throw on 1943. So.
Wait, you can play as a robot?
Yeah.
In the
new one. You can play as a robot. Kind of like one of those bomb-diffusing robots.
What?
Yes.
Like one of the little iRobot war... Wow.
Yep.
Like, what do they do? Do they shoot stuff? Do you just disarm bombs?
The only thing I saw was a guy driving around running people over.
All right, guys, I'm going to go ahead and
That's
say...
worth it.
screaming in an Indian accent, "This bastard is dead. I will kill this guy's butt." Tom sent me a link, and I was dying laughing at work. It was hilarious.
Oh, this guy is going to get it in the butt.
Guys, we're all going to play this game. That's the topic of next week's show.
I will kill this guy's butt.
Is this Tom, is this like a kill streak? Do you know? Like, you can't just... What class do you want to be? Sniper, scout?
I think it's...
Bomb robot?
I gather that the killbot is akin to the UAV from previous titles.
That's what it seemed like.
Yeah, and this guy was just riding around. I don't know if he was Indian. He sounded more Scandinavian to me, but now I like to imagine him being Indian. but he was, yeah, he was like, "I'm going to kill this guy's butt. He's going to take it right in the butt. Blah, bastard." It was great.
So there was these guys laying down, like, sniping, and he's driving over them and killing them and laughing his ass off. It was really funny.
You can't snipe a robot, right? They don't have heads. I'm on board. I'm all about this game.
Then they dueled. He faced off with another robot, and he had met his nemesis on the battlefield.
Yeah.
Three.
Bit of a relapse from me, guys. I'm actually not happy to say this to you all. I hope you don't hold it against me. I reinstated my old City of Heroes account.
You told us this last week.
Oh, damn it. Well, I'm still...
You said you weren't going to reinstate it, and your girlfriend can play what she wants, and you're going to play what you want.
But correct.
Apparently that has changed.
I reinstated it, and I looked at some of my old heroes.
She's withheld the super vag unless he joins her team.
You know what? I have not made my character run into hers yet.
From behind.
I don't even know, guys.
I'll take
what's your superpowers, man.
I'll tell you, I'm just going to bring up one of them, my personal favorite one. He's a Wolverine-like character with heavy claws and stuff. Final Cut Pro is his name.
That's a great
big
name.
Big fan of that one. Other than that, I've been playing a lot of Dungeon Defenders. Great game.
That game looks really cool. It looks cool. And for most of you out there who don't know, I'm not really into dragons and elves and crap, but this game looks neat.
Yeah, it's basically kind of the new generation of tower defense games where you basically lay down towers and also run around as your avatar and spec out your character for either character damage or tower damage. So I would go ahead, I'm going to say, I'd recommend it. It's a good time, and it was like, I don't even know how much like Microsoft points are anymore. I spent $20 on the game. Because I had, like, 799 points.
That's not $20.
I don't even know.
80 points is $1.
I was just at the cusp where I had to buy $20 of points to get it. I don't understand how these things work. I'm incredibly confused. So I have that, and I have, you know, I don't even know how many extra Microsoft points. But still, good time. Good game.
Go get Robot Riot.
You don't even know the name of this game, check it out.
It's Robot Riot, old school side scroller. It's very cool.
I'll look at it then. Are they paying you? Are you on the take for this?
No. Hey, have you played, speaking of tower defense games on the Xbox.
I haven't played Trench, but I want to.
Yeah, that one looks cool, and they dropped it in price.
Was that what you were going for?
No, I was going to ask if you played Orcs Must Die yet.
You know what? It came down to either Orcs Must Die or that game. Dungeon Defenders, and Dungeon Defenders looks like a little bit more in-depth with the character generation.
Uh-huh.
Also, Tower Defenders has two-player split-screen co-op,
yeah.
which is kind of the biggest thing for me. But Orcs Must Die is a really good time, too. I'd recommend them both.
I was super excited for Orcs Must Die. I couldn't wait for the demo to come out. And I got the demo, I played it, the crap out of it, and I like it, and it's fun.
It is.
But I think I'm going to wait till it goes on sale because I feel like it might get a little repetitive.
It reminds me of, Orcs Must Die in particular, reminds me of one of my favorite games from PlayStation 2 era. No, it was PlayStation 1. PlayStation 1 is actually probably kind of the only horror-themed game that I've ever even enjoyed, which was Kijiro 2 Deception, I believe was the name of it. It's you were this kind of spooky girl who lived in an abandoned mansion, and you would just set up horrible traps to kill the villagers that would wander into your horrible old mansion.
That sounds awesome!
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, it was Kagero Deception, I think, was just the name of it. Yeah, Kagero Deception 2.
I believe the domestic release was just called Deception, was it not?
There was a Deception in Deception 2, and Deception 2 was one that I played, and it was like this really cool kind of creepy gothic vibe, and you would basically just set up all these horrible things, like spring trap somebody into an electric chair and then drop a wash tub on them.
Nice!
Which the Japanese dropping a wash tub on your head is something of a trope, I guess, but regardless, had a really cool kind of hoary vibe to it, and I think that's the
only... Home Alone-ish.
Yeah, it was like Home Alone meets horrible, horrible death, and that's exactly what I wanted. So you can dig that one up, I recommend it. But that kind of rolls into what I really wanted to talk about, at least for right now, which was Halloween. You know, survival horror video games, which I'm going to go ahead and say I really love to play in about 5-minute bursts, and then they terrify me.
Just All Hallows Eve.
Just to death. So I don't know. I'm going to guess, Tom, you're probably the big fan of survival horror games here.
Speaking broadly, I'd say that's a fact. Survival horror has probably taken on a more, specific meaning in recent years, but I can, I'd say I've played a few and been horrified by them, yeah.
I don't really understand the term survival horror. Is it different from just horror?
No. Well, only in that the goal is to survive, and you can actually do it, unlike in a good horror movie when everyone dies.
Good point.
If I had to pick, like, I can probably run down three from most recent to least recent, and that's for a reason, now that I'm thinking about it. Number one is a game called, I believe it was for the... So, by the way, I'm going from memory here. I didn't pre-research because I wanted to kind of just come at you with visceral feelings I had from playing these games. There was a video game called Fatal Frame. I'm not sure if any of you are familiar with that, but...
That's the camera one, right?
It's a camera one. There's a girl trapped in this, like, dreadfully haunted house looking for her lost brother, and her only weapon is a camera. So instead of just running around in horror like anybody, like any normal person would when you're in a place with horrible ghosts, you actually have to, like, take pictures of these horrible apparitions. And, I mean...
I remember that game.
It was scary. Like I was scared. I'm like, no, I don't like that. The mechanic is I can't run. I have to face my fears. This is insane.
And then attack with the most ineffectual weapon ever.
Wasn't it just your camera case? yeah. Like here, take. I guess the ghosts didn't like having their photos taken, but
well,
you know,
it's because of the old thing. Like when you take a picture of somebody, you steal their soul. I guess I think it's based on that.
I see. So if you just never get the film developed, and essentially you're like a Ghostbuster, I guess. Like
pretty much.
If you don't like somebody you don't like, you just hand them the film. Here, develop this. You'll love it. So the game was like the ghosts themselves were like freaking scary, man. Like it's like little kid ghosts and like lady with an upside down broken neck, like head ghost. And, like, this weird, like, long-necked ghost that just slides its way around the corner and, like, looks at you all creepy. The game freaked me the hell out, I don't mind saying. And I played this game when I was a full-grown adult man. It's not like I was a kid. And it was, the light stayed on that night type of thing, which I'll admit. I'm a freaking big Frady cat, man. I mean, I know... Movies like Paranormal Activity, you guys are all going to be like, oh, those weren't scary. That was a night lights on for multiple nights after that, just to be sure, movie.
Dude, I can't even watch the previews of those movies without freaking out. That shit looks scary, man.
Yeah, they disturb me. I prefer to think I have an advanced level of emotional intelligence so that I can really get into those movies where, you know, other people can't.
No, they're just bad movies. I'm sorry.
Well, yeah, there's that too. And I might also just be a big Frady cat. Rick, don't watch him. It's not worth it, man. The sleep is so much nicer. But yeah, Fatal Frame put me in that frame. No pun, kind of pun intended.
It was insane. Don't lie.
And yeah, I was. My heart was all a shudder.
After a flutter.
Yeah,
it's a shudder because it's a camera game.
Get it? So I mean. Like all horror movies, it's like, why would you be here? Like, my reaction is I walk into a haunted house and all I have is a camera. I just leave. Like, oh, well. But my brother's in there. Oh, well. We'll send the cops in.
Sucks to be him.
He'll figure it out.
Yeah, he's a big boy. So I believe you find his camera, too, if I'm not mistaken. I'd have to play it again, but that was a scary one. I believe that was for the – I think that was during the PS2/Xbox era that came out. So that's like one generation back. Stepping a little farther back, there's a really scary game known as Clock Tower.
That game was the worst.
In which you are like a hapless – basically, like – all they had to say in the description is, you are a hapless victim. You will not survive. You're useless. You're supposed to run around and do stuff. My friend Jimmy let me – I was house-sitting for him. I'll never forget this. This is when I was in the Air Force. He's like, oh, can you house-sit for me? Oh, you got to play this game, Clock Tower. So I'm in a creepy house with a cat slinking around in the background. And, like, it's like – it's in. This is when I'm in Delaware. It's, like, cool and windy outside, and, like, I can hear the wind howling. I'm like, oh, let me play this game. And I'm, like, running around literally like a scared schoolgirl. There's, like, objectives you're supposed to do, but this creepy guy with hedge trimming shears would just, like, pop out of places, and they play this, like, music.
And I'm like, it was the worst. Yeah, like it was the sound of his scissors opening and closing as he walked.
Yeah, that was it. And you would hear it on screen. You're like, where is he? Oh my god, he's in the bathroom stall. Ah! And I played this game for like maybe an hour. And I'm like, no, I'm not doing this. And like I like turned on the Disney Channel to try to get it out of my mind. And I was freaking horrified, man. And I'm supposed to sit here with this creepy cat watching that game. I've literally blocked a lot of it out of my mind. Like the hour or so that I played, but just. And the graphics are probably primitive, but I bet you if I played that game today, I'd still be scared by it.
I would not touch it. I would not put that game in my PlayStation.
Wasn't it a really crappy game, though?
Like, I never got past the first level. I don't know.
Remember it having the reputation of being a super, really bad game.
Well, we could play it, or you could play it and tell me, because I'm not going to. Grant, one thing I do remember, and it might have just been because I was paralyzed with fear, I remember the controls being like... almost seemingly intentionally like slow and swimmy, like you're not moving fast.
That's every single survival horror game, they kind of, even Resident Evil,
yeah,
where you're like a crack secret, you know, STARS agent. Terrible controls.
You feel like you're playing the 2600 game Combat, but you're actually trying to run zombies. Yeah,
dude, 2600 had tight controls on every game.
Well, compared to, no, it did. I'm not say that, but I mean, I would expect that by the time Resident Evil came out, we would have advanced a little bit.
I hear you.
But you know, I think that thing in the dream where you're running from a monster and you can't move, I think they capture that very well by giving you unresponsive controls in a video game.
You know what? I remember my moment now. I was playing the game, and you could, like, there were little, like, context buttons where you could hide.
Right.
So I was running from the Scissor Man, and there I would always hide in this bathroom stall.
Me too!
And finally, I guess if you do it enough, the game's like, no, this is, you can't do this anymore. And if I remember correctly, a pair of scissors just went through the door and took off my head, or it was just, I screamed, and I took the game back to Blockbuster.
That's pretty much my experience. I don't remember the exact moment, but I reach a like no moment. Like this emotionally is just not worth the investment.
I'm terrified. I need therapy. This is horrible.
Yeah, yeah.
I had moments like that when I played. Like the first game I remember playing that was anything like that was Silent Hill.
Ooh.
That game spooked the crap out of me, man. I was sleeping with lights on and everything. That game spooked the shit out of me.
Now, how far did you get in that?
I don't even remember, man.
I remember exactly. I have not touched that game for over 10 years. I remember exactly how far I got into Silent Hill.
I know I didn't get far.
There's this part where you're at. Is it Silent Hill 1 where you're in this elementary school? And you can hear the sound of, like, crying babies in the background?
Dude, God.
Every time, dude.
Yeah, I got to there. Nope. Back to Blockbuster.
Guys.
Babies. Crying stop. Babies.
Come and play with us.
By the way, I'm already looking nervously around my house. Like, I'm looking over my shoulder and stuff now. Yeah, I'm, like, freaked out. I'm turning on extra lights. Calling neighbors over.
Now, I've had this feeling on a game that I've played recently. It's not necessarily a recent game. But since I'm pretty new to the Xbox, the game was new to me, and that was BioShock.
Oh yeah, I found that a bit creepy actually.
And I mean, it wasn't the level of like direct, like monstery, spooky kind of scare that Silent Hill was, but it was definitely like this that sense of loneliness in the game, and just like the weird sounds and like the like how everyone has gone crazy and they just like chatter, have these just fucked up conversations between each other.
Yep.
It freaks me out, dude. And it's funny because I seem to gravitate towards that game only when it's raining out. So it's almost like the outside atmosphere matches the atmosphere on the screen, and I spook myself out. Like, my girlfriend came out of the – she came out of the bedroom, and I was playing, and I literally – fumbled my controller and jumped off the side of the couch. I was like, what the fuck are you doing? What are you doing? She's like, relax. Scare the crap out of me, man.
It's no, creepy,
that
man.
Game is, yeah.
And they potentially threw a few scary bits at you, like, bah, gotcha!
Yeah,
like
it's
basic
it's,
jump scares, yeah.
It's kind of, I don't know, it's in a different realm than, like, the straight up totally freaky scary. This is a little bit more like I could be losing my mind along with the guy that I'm playing. You know what I mean? I don't know. It's just
I'm with you. It's
psychological,
like,
thriller almost.
Yes. Yeah.
I'm walking around. I have a full, you know, plasmid count. I can fire lightning and bees. Like, I'm a freaking demigod walking around in this ruined city. I'm conserving my stuff. Oh my god! I would like freak out, just like waste all my mana or whatever, casting spells with these creepy enemies.
Like, I mean, you can hear like all these people talking that you don't see, and they're like, hee-hee, and then I went in over and I touched him. Hee-hee. Like, weird shit like that. It's the equivalent of crying babies, but it's not that kind of scary. It's I'm slowly but surely losing my mind, and I'm surrounded by other scary people that have already lost their mind.
Yeah, and you're on your way. Oh yeah, and
it's like if you're afraid of retards, and then you find yourself on the short bus, and you're like, oh my god.
Well, they are very strong.
Never rule out retard strength.
And I'm gonna go ahead and say the weirdest thing about all these games, for me at least, I'm terrified. Like, I can't play survival horror games. I can think of maybe one movie that has actually scared me enough where I'm like, oh, this is weird. Like, movies do not do that to me. Horror movies have no effect. I don't know what's up with that. Maybe I need the interaction.
Like which kind of horror movies? Gory or suspense or
anything. Like, the only movie I can think of that had a real and serious effect on me was the American version of The Ring, oddly enough. That was more of like a long lasting kind of unsettling feeling. Apart from that, it's just nothing. I don't get anything from movies,
dude,
really.
You weren't spooked out by The Shining?
I was.
Meh.
Come on.
It was good. I liked it. I'm not going to pretend it was a bad movie. It was an excellent movie. And, like, during chase scenes, like, it was a tense movie, but it's not like I was like, oh, God, this is terrifying. By the time
I saw that movie when I was a kid, and I wonder if that's why it scared me so much. But I've watched it recently, and I still get scared.
You know what? I probably couldn't watch it right now.
Oh, that was
because
horrifying.
I saw it as a kid, and it implanted on my brain this thought that...
That's a very powerful point you guys are making about when you see something or experience something, and I'm about to like completely agree with you, because the third game I want to bring up is not scary by any reasonable standard. But the game that most scared me, and it is still stuck with, like, fills me with a sense of dread when I so much as see the cover art or a screenshot, is Haunted House for the Atari 2600.
Get out of here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It is not Leisure Suit Larry. It is Haunted House for the Atari 2600. That game scared the freaking crap out of me when I was a kid, man. I was like, I didn't even know if I could
seriously engage you in this conversation. Like, I was ready to...
You weren't there. You weren't there. You're like, oh, this scepter will keep the ghosts away, but I can't hold on to it if I want to advance in the game. And, ugh. Game was freaking horrifying, man.
You have to let go of the scepter to advance.
Will agree with Tom on something. Whether he's joking or not, I do not know. But I will say that I do remember how different of a gameplay feel that that Haunted House had. I mean, you look at it now and it's extremely comical with like those Pac-Man ghost eyes and the candle lighting up around it or whatever, but there was nothing ever like that before, where like everything was dark on the screen. And like, I wouldn't say that like it scared me, but it definitely gave me a sense of tension that I had never felt in a video game before when it first came out.
It scared me. I was like 6 when that came out, and it scared the hell out of me.
Yeah, I was like 37. It scared me pretty bad.
It's like you said, you know, it does have something to do with, you know, when you had the experience. You know, now you're traumatized for life.
I used to be afraid of the movie Witchboard, and I have no idea why.
I don't even know. Is that a movie about a killer Ouija board or something?
Yes!
Oh my, this is serious? That's a real thing.
Yes.
Can I watch this? I want to see it.
The Witchboard. It had a hot chick in it, didn't it?
It did. That's why you watch it. It's like your typical cheesy 80s, like, teen flick horror movie. And I don't know why, but that movie spooked me, man. On a big level.
All right, Grant, you said horror movies don't get you. I don't know if this qualifies as a true horror movie, but what about Jaws? Everybody was afraid of Jaws.
Oh, Jaws is a horror movie, I would say. You know what? I've never seen Jaws all the way through. Like, I've seen, like, it'll be, like, on TBS, and I'll watch a bit of it. I know that there's a guy, he says that there's a beach, and that a shark eats somebody, and then there's a bigger boat that they need.
I can tell you that Jaws never scared me, per se. But there isn't a time when I'm in a pool at night or at the ocean scene, and I'm like, I look around, I'm like, uh-oh, something's up.
You know what? That's why Jaws just doesn't interest me. I don't even know how to swim. Like, if there's a movie about being a hopelessly impotent adult that doesn't know how to swim, Keith, like just kind of flopping around in a pool, I would watch that.
Keith, what was the horror movie that the guy went underwater and then he couldn't get up? Back up because it like had ice or some kind of cover or something on it.
I think the name of that movie, and that scared the living shit out of me, I think it was called Legacy or something like that, where it was a family and the matron of the family was dying, and all these people were in this house and they were dying in weird ways. And this one person goes and dives into the indoor swimming pool, swims around underwater a little bit, and as they come up, the whole surface of the pool is glass, so they can't come up out of the pool.
That
freaks me out when I dive in the deep end, man.
You know what? That the scene from what was it, Unbreakable, where the Bruce Willis falls in that pool and there's like the plastic just wraps around him. And I think there's a scene like that in The Human Centipede also. That freaks me the hell out.
Don't care.
You know what? You have to watch. Oh, The Human Centipede 2's out. I think this one has 12 people.
Don't care twice as much. Not watching it.
Why didn't they just call it The Human Millipede?
Sorry. They should have.
They should do the Human Space Invaders and the Human Missile Command also. I would be all for that. I'm going to go and say another horror movie shot, like the Trapped Underwater that always gets me. You've been thinly sliced by something, and then you slowly slide apart.
Ouch.
That one freaks me out. That one has an effect on me. You know, like, what was it? Resident Evil had the laser beams.
Yeah, those were scary.
They just thinly slice that dude, and then all of a sudden he just goes and falls apart.
Yeah, that was
scary. That might be one of my favorite horror movie death types.
That used to scare me when the Roadrunner would do that to Wile E. Coyote. or when Jerry would do it to Tom.
Let's say also that scene in Poltergeist where the lady runs off the cliff and takes about 10 steps. Then looks down and realizes that there's no more ground beneath her and falls. That horrifies me.
Puts up the yikes sign.
Yeah.
That. My favorite
part. That's how I'm going to die. I've known it ever since I saw that movie. So let's hear some picks then. Let's hear it. Tom, favorite horror movie? Let's have one.
My favorite horror movie of all times? Definitely Deep Blue Sea.
I'm not talking to you anymore.
Is it because of the big rant that the Jedi has in the middle of it?
Yeah, Mace Windu gets eaten. That movie's horribly bad. My favorite horror movie, it's a toss-up between, and again, it has to do with when I saw them and so on. It is a toss-up between Poltergeist and I would say Event Horizon, maybe?
Yeah, baby. Two winners.
Those are two very good movies.
winners.
I really hated Event Horizon.
You can't.
Watch it again. You'll love it.
It was, I was never scared. I don't know. Maybe that was a movie where I could not suspend my disbelief. I was just like, what? Ship's haunted? It's the devil? What is this? I just couldn't get into it. I just thought it was dumb.
That movie was cool, man. You're crazy.
All right, Keith, I'll throw you one more, but you have to help me name it.
Okay.
I don't remember if it was Twilight Zone or Fright Night, but it was one of those compilation movies, and, like, it was Creepshow, the one with the big killer baboon that eats people.
Oh, wait, what?
Yeah, that lived in the box, lived in the crate under the stairs.
Oh, that was Creepshow. That was Creepshow.
Now borderline comical-looking ape scared the hell out of me when I was a kid, man.
The worst one in Creepshow is one where Ted Danson... Was it Ted Danson got
buried
alive? Yeah, that was the worst. Because he drowns.
Yeah, and then he comes back.
Joe's apartment.
Okay, yeah.
I don't want to talk about that movie anymore. It was scary.
No more.
I got one thing to say about Creepshow movies.
What?
Okay, I got a couple things to say.
Actually, I have a 15-minute rant. So you
the first one would be, I want my birthday cake, Cecilia.
I know what the next one's going to be.
The second one would be, damn it. A Koenig, Chief Woodenhead, a Koenig.
Oh, my, I forgot the friggin' killer Indian.
And then the third my most popular that I use every time I go for a ride with a friend.
All the time.
Thanks for the ride, lady. I didn't even like the Creepshow movies. I just like the one-liners I could use on
a daily basis. They're fantastic. They are fantastic movies.
I didn't hate them, but they weren't like, you know, they're not my upper tier. But I do have extremely fond moments of them because a lot of my friends liked them a lot, so we watch them all the time.
So many lessons from those movies. Don't run over a guy and then keep going. And don't disrespect a dime store Indian, or respect him. He's a caricature, and he knows it. Just respect him.
Wait, I thought they murdered the dude, and then the statue came alive.
Yeah, they did, and Chief whatever his name is avenged the people.
A Koenig.
Yeah.
Chief Woodenhead.
Apache Chief.
Nunchuck.
So what are your favorites then, Rick, for the horror movies? Because I know it's not Creepshow.
No, there's a lot of them that I like, but they're all pretty normal. So, you know, like the original Amityville Horror I loved because it scared the crap out of me with that pig Jody with the glowing red
eye. Oh, God.
Couldn't handle that. George Lutz flushing the toilet and blood comes out. That shit scares me. But then, you know, like The Shining scared the crap out of me. I think one of the best movies in those genres is Friday the 13th, the first one, was awesome. And it's still a good watch. But my recommendation for everybody listening and for you guys, the movie that I find the funnest to watch, the one, it's kind of my, I want something retarded and weird and scary and funny and whatever, is a little movie I like to call Chopping Mall.
Chopping Mall.
Chopping Mall was a movie from 1986 where shopping can cost you an arm
and a leg. Oh, I called that.
Here's the synopsis of Chopping Mall. At Park Place Plaza Mall, the new security force isn't just tight, it's terrifying. Some people will kill for a bargain, and at the Park Plaza Mall, they do. Here, you can shop till you drop.
So wait, hold on. Is this description
... dead?
So is this description just one bad joke after the other?
It gets better. High-tech robots equipped with state-of-the-art security devices have been recruited as the new mechanical night watchmen for the Park Plaza Mall. When a jolting bolt of lightning short circuits the main computer control, the robots turn into killbots. On the loose after unsuspecting shoppers, four couples are trying to make it in an after-hours mattress store. They make they make it all right into the morgue.
So I'm gonna go ahead and say I'm looking at quotes from the movie. Here we go. We have some quotes here. Look, I'm sorry if I made you angry, Linda. It's not you, Ferdy. I'm just not used to being chased around a mall in the middle of the night by killer robots.
Chopping mall, where they slash their prices and their customers.
Come on.
Dude, whoever wrote those things is a genius.
What's funny is the movie's not even really, I mean, it's about that, but they make it sound like they just go on the loose like during the day. What happens is, you know, you've got your standard pack of, you know, a jock guy, a nerd guy, the whole like 80s style of pairing up of people. And
you've
got
a club instead of a breakfast club.
Right, exactly. And you've got like the couple, then you've got the jock and the hot girl who aren't a couple, but they're interested in each other. And then you have the guy loner and the girl loner who are both misfits in their own cliques, and then they end up hooking up. But what happens is they decide they want to stay in the mall overnight. I guess a couple of them work there. I don't remember exactly. But they end up in the mall overnight.
Because they really like Sparrow's pizza.
Right. And they want to eat as much as they can and not pay by the pound. So they end up staying in the mall. That's where like the mattress store thing they're talking about. And it's like Tom said, you know, they break apart from each other and they go on their own little adventures. And then all hell breaks loose with the robots going nuts. And then they end up trying to get back with each other to get out of the mall. But in between, it's all the gratuitous boob shots and pun one-liners and really like good cheesy special effects, like people's heads blowing up like scanner style and stuff like that. It's a really fun movie, and the robots are awesome looking. Like in 86, you'd expect them to look kind of, you know, like Johnny Five is Alive style or whatever. But these,
I would pay to see that.
These things look so ridiculous, man. It's like,
they look like the old Hero Bots on acid.
Yes, exactly. They look like
all these things look steroids. Terrible. These things look, oh, they look like really bad mixtures between Daleks and Cylons.
Yeah. They're really cheesy, stereotypical, like 70s robots in an 80s movie. It's fantastic.
So, gore on a scale of 1 to 10, how is it?
Not really gory. There's a couple of really good scenes. One of them you can see in the trailer where the girl's head blows up. That was the money shot of the movie.
How are the boobs on a scale of 1 to 10?
Solid 8, I would say.
Nice. That's good.
They're on a blonde girl, so that lowers the scale for me.
Yeah. Well, it was the 80s.
Do they make out in an Orange Julius before being killed?
Many a time, I'm sure.
Oh my god, I would just close my eyes and smell it. That'd be fantastic.
So delicious.
This place is Orange Julius smells so good. So that's your pick, though.
That's my recommendation, because it's a movie that falls into the thriller/horror kind of genre, but it's not your, there's no boogeyman after you. There's a twist to it. I like it.
All right, so Keith.
Yes.
Horror movies. Let's hear some good stuff.
Well, I gotta say, I don't think I've ever, I maybe have rented 2 horror movies, 3 horror movies, so I don't really seek them out. But I saw a lot as a teenager, because that's what you do. Kind of like Rick, movies like The Shining scared the bejesus out of me. And it's not really that, you know, the here's Johnny. It's the openness and the quietness of it really just freaks me out. And there's one movie that I haven't seen since probably I was 8 years old, and I don't even think I saw the whole movie back then. And it creeps me out. The thought of it creeps me out. And it's Coma. I don't even know if it's a scary movie.
It is.
I only have one image in my head that I remember scaring the crap out of me, and it was somebody. It could have been a doctor, could have been anybody, just walking down this long hallway in a hospital or wherever the hell it was, and there'd be nothing. There was nothing there. You know, it's just quiet, and you know. And then they walk into the room, and there's all these people hanging, or you know, connected through the ceiling to tubes and stuff. It just, that movie really creeped me out.
Right. Now, that was around the same time as Altered States.
That movie was bad.
No, that was great.
Back in the day, that was a scary movie, man.
I didn't think it was that scary, but I really did. That was kind of like a psychological movie.
Yeah.
I thought the movie was just terrible. No. It did nothing for me.
Ever since then, I've wanted one of those isolation chambers filled with water so I can turn into a gorilla.
Yeah, that's how science works.
Exactly.
Monkey shines.
I got to say, two of the, for those who don't know, Rick and I used to be roommates. And two of the movies that we saw together as grown men that were scary when we watched them. One of them was Henry, Portrait of a Serial Killer.
That scared him more than it scared me, but
yeah, it wasn't a documentary. It was just, you know, here's the serial killer. This is what he does. But what creeped me out was just the normalness of it. How, okay, yeah, he's going to go. He wasn't like out to scare people or torture. He just went out and serial killed. That was it. And that just, you know, I guess the psyche, the fact that a human could do something like that really freaked me out. The other movie we saw, and for me, horror movies don't gory movies, the jump out scary movies, those don't really scare me. What really gets me are suspense movies. I can't watch no suspense. And we watched this movie that I will say that it is an awful movie, but it did its job. It was called Night Watchman.
That's a movie?
It's about this guy, and I think the young kid was
Ewan McGregor.
Yeah, he was a regular dude, a good actor.
Oh,
Night Watchman in his place, and the main bad guy was what was his name? He's a big actor too. Nick Nolte, I think, was the bad guy. And all it was, it was the Night Watchman walking around this morgue, and he would hear a sound, and then he would go to investigate it. And I'm like, no, you don't go to investigate it. You stay where you're at. You don't go over there. You don't look through the little window in the door to see what's going on. You just stay where you're at. And that suspense just freaks me out, and I could not handle it whatsoever.
We still quote that movie all the time. I don't know how it came about, but every time, like, in the movie, he would hear something, and he would, like, look around, and then either me or – I don't know how it started, but we're like, dude, you know what that is? And then the other one would go, that's bullshit.
Yeah, because – none of us would ever go to investigate it, but he's like going to check. Ooh, wonder what that is,
dude. If I'm making $7.50 an hour working in a morgue overnight and I hear a weird noise, that dead body can walk around all at once. I ain't leaving that desk.
Yep,
it's not happening.
Yep.
But that's not my favorite scary movie. My favorite scary movie, and now I watch it, it's not scary at all to me. Probably just because age and whatever. But Aliens. Is my favorite.
That was a good one.
Now, I would say Alien probably got twice as scary as Aliens.
No, I'm sorry. You are correct. That's what I meant to say. Alien is.
Okay.
Aliens is a great movie, but it's not scary whatsoever. But Alien, yeah. Alien is a freaking scary ass movie. And that's another one with a lot of suspense, wondering what's happening around.
Yeah.
That sort of thing.
I mean, I had the chance to see that in theaters when it was re-released. That one had an effect on me, but it didn't really. Like, it wasn't like I was going to leave the lights on afterwards or anything, you know.
If I had to recommend a movie to people for their Halloween movie-watching pleasure, it's a completely different kind of movie. And I went to go look for it all this week, and I couldn't find it anywhere. It hasn't been released on DVD. It's not out on Blu-ray. I don't know if you can get it on Netflix or not. I don't have no account there. But the movie is called Mr. Frost. And it stars Jeff Goldblum as a scary guy. I can't tell you anymore because then I ruined the movie.
It's not about a snowman, right?
No.
Okay.
No, he's. It's a psychological movie. I don't even remember if it's really a thriller per se.
Did you say Jeff Goldblum?
Yes.
Is it the one where he's an elephant?
What?
We have this conversation all the time.
You're not even talking about something that's a real thing now.
Rick, I am.
That's Madagascar.
No, there's a movie where Jeff Goldblum had a elephant.
Oh, yeah, he was a scientist, and he switched his body accidentally with an elephant, right? It was called The Elephant.
Yeah, that's the one.
What are you guys talking about?
You guys are not funny.
Good morning, Mr. Christmas. It's never going to make any sense, so never mind.
Starring Marky Post.
No, my the fly joke was killer, though.
It was. See, so, now that's... Go ahead. Sorry.
Just to finish up, Mr. Frost, basically what it is, there's a lot of killings going on, and Mr. Frost is the guy that they think is the person who's doing this, and they actually catch him burying bodies in his backyard. And then from then on, it's kind of like almost a police interrogation, him told stories. Just a really freaky movie. I thought it had a cool twist, although it is a twist, and a lot of people don't like these kind of twists. But I thought it was a really cool, somewhat scary, or at least very freaky movie. Go out and enjoy.
Okay. So I'm gonna go ahead and throw out a couple of mine then. Obviously, we talked about The Ring, right? I don't need to throw that out there anymore. But I'm going to throw out one that kind of like just gives me like a little bit of the heebie-jeebies, I think. That's a good term.
Absolutely.
I saw a very little bit of The Stuff when I was a kid.
Oh, wow.
And that movie freaked the absolute hell out of me. And I don't even think I could watch The Stuff right now.
Stuff?
You're not familiar?
The Stuff? It was like just The Stuff called The Stuff. And
people it was like
would,
a remake of The Blob, but with, like, foam.
Yogurt. It was like
foam
yogurt.
Yogurt, yeah.
Well, it was this, you would get addicted to this marshmallow fluff that would eventually turn you into marshmallow fluff from the inside.
And it was horrifying. Like, people just, like, there were these shots of, like, half latex masks floating in, like, essentially yogurt. And it was...
And that was people that it had consumed?
Yeah. It was seriously the worst thing ever.
What kind of stuff scares you? Are you more scared by...
You know what? Body stuff really gets me the most of anything. Like, where you are something and you get turned into something else. Like, getting turned into The Stuff. Or the one in Creepshow that always got me was one where Stephen King, even though I know you're in all your movies, you really can't act. the one where he gets turned into a weird, horrible plant thing. You know?
That was a good one. Yeah,
yeah, like,
I remember that.
Of the Body Snatchers is one of those kind of movies?
Not so much because they're still people. I mean, like, where, like, you know, even, like, let's take a classic, like, the Mario Brothers movie, where they get de-evolved into horrible fungus, you know? And Mojo Nixon gets turned into a Goomba. Like, that kind of stuff freaks me out. Like, I don't want to end up like Mojo Nixon. For numerous reasons.
Well, the name would be cool.
Hmm?
The name would be cool.
Yeah, but outside of that, no. Like, it's just... Like, that's the stuff in horror movies that gets you the most. Where
Sorry, go ahead, Grant.
I don't know. Like, it's where you are something and you get turned into something else.
Mm. So, like Turbo Teen freaks you out, for example?
You know what? Turbo Teen can turn back. Like, I wouldn't mind being a shapeshifter. That'd be awesome. Even if I shapeshift into, like, you know, a bucket of water, if I can turn back, I'm cool.
Turbo Teen cannot turn back time and erase the fact that that show existed, so Turbo Teen can die.
That would be a poor fate. But I'm more like, against your will, getting transmuted into something that's not really a proper...
Yeah.
Brundle fly.
Hmm. There's some... Go ahead.
I was just going to say, like Keith said, Grundlefly. I like horror movies.
That just
movies.
Sounds obscene.
I like horror movies that are more like that. Like, I like those, like, more science fiction-y kind of horror ones than just straight up, like, guys that go and kill people. No, it's Grundlefly. That's how I've always said it. That's how I'll always say it.
Yeah, Grundle and Brundle are two entirely different things.
I know Grundle sounds like a weird sexual problem.
No, it's. I don't know if anybody knows this. Grundle is the term we use, at least, for it's slang for taint.
Yeah, see, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah.
Grundlefly. Sticking to it.
Oh, God, I just looked up pictures of Brundlefly online, trying to figure out what this is.
Seth
this looks
Brundle,
like
it's the fly. It's another Jeff Goldblum movie that was awesome.
Is this really what it is? I just see pictures of it, and it looks absolutely the worst. Is that what the fly was?
Yeah,
you never saw it.
The fly back
No. But it, what the what? Where did the Brundle fly come from?
That was his name.
His name was Seth Brundle, and so he was turning into a fly.
Oh.
So he called himself Brundlefly.
Grundlefly.
Okay.
So yes. I like movies like that much better. I think.
I don't think I could watch that version of the fly. Like, I've seen the old one. I don't think I could see the Jeff Goldblum one. Cause
it's awesome.
I'm looking at pictures of it, and it looks like the worst thing in the world. Like, Jeff Goldblum already freaks me right the balls out.
Well, there you go. Then you're halfway scared already.
You know what? I need to. That's my homework assignment for this week. I'm going to watch the Jeff Goldblum version of The Fly.
And then I think there was a Fly 2 that had Eric Stoltz in it.
Yes.
Which is pretty good, too. Not as good as the Jeff Goldblum, though.
Can I get The Fly 3 with, like, Steve Guttenberg or something and just really get out there?
Yikes.
Get away.
But you know what? I'm going to say Halloween, one of my favorite holidays here, even though it doesn't really scare me.
I'm not as much of a fan as I used to be.
You're not? You're growing out of it?
I guess.
What's your favorite Halloween archetype? Are you a vampire person? Mummy person?
I like the death and dismemberment parts. That and the ironic, corny costume idea. Those are my two things.
What's your favorite archetype? It's something that they made movies of the 20s about.
No. I'm not like a Nosferatu guy. I'm not like I like werewolves or mummies. Like, I'm more like, give me death and dismemberment. Give me black metal. And then, like, you know, an ironic mustache-based costume in a PBR at a costume party. Like, that's what I need. That's my Halloween, and I'll love it. I'll always love it.
Wait, how is that a costume exactly?
Oh, no, you add an ironic mustache to some existing costume and make a mustache pun.
But, I mean, if I may, half the dildos out there now are wearing that non-ironically. Like, that's their style.
And what's your point? Everybody else is wearing their own style. Everybody else is going as, oh, I'm Mario and Luigi for Halloween. Like, that's boring. Go to hell.
I guess what I'm saying is somebody showing up with a goofy mustache and a Pabst Blue Ribbon would be like, oh, that's you on any other day.
No. The Pabst Blue Ribbon is something I enjoy unironically. It's just good, cheap beer. What I'm saying is you take something like, you know, an existing costume, like, say, Bjorn Borg, you put a mustache on it, and you're Bjorn Borg with a mustache. You're good to go.
That's how would it work if you wanted to be Smokey from Smokey and the Bandit, or Bandit from Smokey and the Bandit?
You couldn't do that. You'd have to do it without a mustache.
Couldn't you wear the mustache and then put, like, a handlebar mustache on top of it?
Now, you could, like, put, like, 50 mustaches on you and say that you're a mustache bandit, and then if anybody else has one, you take it from them.
Well,
that would work.
You call yourself the mustachioed bandit?
Well, no, you're stealing mustaches.
Oh.
If you walk, really yours. Aren't most guys walking around with mustaches, like, trying to be child molesters?
Well, I'm going to go ahead and say.
Say it.
Go ahead.
I think we're about ready to wrap this one up. I'm feeling pretty good. I think we covered on all the important bases of a good Halloween show. Did anybody else have anything else they wanted to go over?
Well, I can name games that I liked and forgot to mention. Movies I liked that I forgot to mention. Spooky Halloween music I forgot to mention. I forgot to mention.
My recipe for Rice Krispie witches. Spoiler alert. They're Rice Krispie treat balls with little chocolate ice cream cones on top of them, so they look like hats.
Cool.